Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now they say good things come to those who wait. You waited 3 years. What has that done for you?
Built a lot of work, grind, and just building on how I can become a great NFL quarterback, and just building with my teammates that chemistry, and everybody's ready for this season. We're excited to go out there and bring back some dubs.
Jordan Love from Family Night. Practice held at Lambeau Field, sold out, full of cheeseheads. Everybody excited every year to see what the Packers can do this year, particularly Jordan Love. In that chain that goes Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, will Jordan Love be able to live up to the standard set by his two predecessors? And, you know, Chris, Matt Schneidman of The Athletic had an item detailing Love's performance on Saturday night. A mixed bag,
yeah.
1 for 5 in the initial team period.
Right.
Struggled in 1 2-minute drill, then got it together, completed a couple of passes, and eventually a 50-50 ball to Christian Watson in the end zone for a touchdown. So he had some good, he had some bad, and it was some observations from Schneidman last week regarding Packers practice that had Adam Schein firing off some hot takes, and those hot takes caught the attention of Devondre Campbell. And I mean, look, I love a good Twitter fight between a player and someone in the media, as long as I'm not the one in the media who's in the middle of it. But, you know, there was some spirited defense by Devondre Campbell of Jordan Love, and that's a nice throw there. That's a nice little throw.
He's got
guy's
talent.
Not open, but you
right.
trust your receiver to go get it.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Look, we need to give the guys some time. And I Adam Schein. I love Adam Schein. He's a little over the top at times. His critique of Jordan Love included he can't play football, which is cartoonish. In its ridiculousness. Devondre Campbell, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the bottom line
is, you need to read the whole thing. You need to read the whole thing. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we should have played the clip to fully understand it. But Devondre Campbell said to our friend Adam Schein, ain't no way you just got on here with that baggy-ass Steve Harvey suit and them thick-ass Dollar Tree glasses. Low blow, Devondre. And disrespected my quarterback by saying he can't play football. He only has one career start. Let him play at least a half a season before you open your big dumbass mouth. Again, I'm very glad that was not directed at me, but I haven't said Jordan Love can't play football. We don't know what he can do. We saw him last year pressed into service against the Eagles, and it looked pretty good, and I know that they weren't ready for him, but he clearly can play football. The Packers traded up to get him. I know they could have had T. Higgins. I know. They wanted Justin Jefferson. He was gone. They wanted Brandon Ayuk. He was gone. Plan C was Jordan Love, not T. Higgins. And we don't know what Love is going to do. So it's a little much to say he can't play football.
Yeah.
And I don't think Adam Schein really means it literally. But I like the fact that Devondre Campbell decided to stick up for his guy. That's a good sign. It's no different than what we saw coming out of Jets camp when they went after Nathaniel Hackett.
No, agreed. You know, I think this is the second, third time we've kind of seen the locker room pick up for Jordan Love this offseason, right? I mean, was it Romeo Doubs who said some things about him? You know, Jaire Alexander, we saw a clip of him earlier this year when he came up behind Jordan Love and was giving him love literally, you know, in front of the microphone and the camera, right, to be like, hey, this is our guy, this is one of our favorite teammates, whatever. They got his back. There's no doubt about that. And, hey, you know, he doesn't need to reinvent the wheel here. You know, this is a solid football team that has some pieces in place that should be able to let him come about and you know, mature in front of our eyes here, where he doesn't have to carry the team and go 400 yards and four touchdowns in week one. Hopefully that's the case, you know, and I think it's all a jump off of kind of what you said, some of the stuff in the media last week. Why isn't there more unbelievable throws and highlights from Jordan Love that I see through training camp? All of a sudden that became a topic last week because of all this. I don't know. You know, either way, we've seen him in games to where he can open up your eyes and do some good things like we saw last year. Practice, it's not going to be perfect, you know, but they're going to also practice can be different where practice you're working on a lot of things and there's a lot of moving parts. When you get to the game, you know, things are more concise. They're a little bit more, hey, we know what you do really good and really bad, and we're going to make it more about what you do really good. And we're going to make the game plan fit to where it's simple and works for you that way. Sometimes practice can be harder and more complicated than an actual game and the week and the preparing and all the things you do and everything there. So, you know, let's not judge too quickly or harshly here. Let's see where it goes. The kid's got talent. Like you said, it's a tough spot. So let's let it play out and give him a little bit of a, you know, a leash here to show us all what he's got and do it on the football field.
It really is stunning to hear anyone take those kinds of shots at a guy who was the bystander in 3 years of dysfunction in Green Bay. We said this all along. He's the only guy in the entire equation to feel sorry for. Everybody else chose to be there. He got drafted into that mess where he's just kind of sitting there like Jesse in that scene in Breaking Bad where he's drinking the water and he's looking back and forth at Walt and Skyler like, what the hell do I do with this? As Aaron Rodgers is firing shots at the front office, and Matt LaFleur took the job knowing that he was going to have some dysfunction between Rodgers and the front office. If he didn't know, he should have known. Love had no choice. And there's so many factors that go into whether or not he's going to perform well. It's not just his skills and abilities and his decision-making. What kind of blocking does he get? What kind of run support does
exactly.
he get? What kind of receiver play does he get? What kind of coaching does he get? What kind of support from his defense does he get? I mean, if his defense is giving up a touchdown every time they go out on the field, it puts a lot more pressure on Jordan Love to throw 40-yard lasers to try to answer. It becomes a tennis match, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And look, what got all this started, I think, was Rasul Douglas, West Virginia great, by the way. Big 12 great, by the way. That's one of the topics in our grid coming up later, Big 12 guys. But Rasul Douglas at practice reportedly yelling at the offense, "You guys effing suck." Well, so what?
Exactly.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
At every team, at every time. Remember, that was a story that Richard Sherman yelled at Russell Wilson the year they won the Super Bowl, or one of those years they were a Super Bowl team. That happens everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, this was a conversation last week because of Trayvon Diggs and Dak Prescott. I mean, DBs are the cockiest, loudmouth people you'll ever see in your life. They talk all the time. They can't help it. And they're freaky athletes. Maybe the freakiest athletes in our country. So that's the way they are. How else do you think that guy can get burned for a 40-yard gain and then the next play just go, I'm the man, I'm going to get up in his face and cover him once again, right? There's a mindset there. I had this conversation with Devin McCourty on my podcast last week, you know, because everyone was making a big thing, right, Mike, of, oh, well, they must not respect Dak Prescott and do all that. And Devin McCourty was like, we used to mother F Tom Brady all the time and tell him he stinks and all that. And he'd give it back to us if he threw a touchdown in practice. You know, it's training camp. You're sick of seeing the same damn guys every day. You're sick of practicing. You're tired mentally, physically. You haven't seen your wife or your girlfriend or significant other. You get no loving. Life is tough. I mean, they're frustrated in all sense of the word, okay? And, yeah, some four-letter words come out. Even to the untouchable quarterback at times, he even gets cussed out.
Here's a little from Devin McCourty last week on Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Damn. Talking about that dynamic of trash talk. Well, they told me. They told me. Wait, where is it? Let's see. Here it is.
The whole it's in video with Trevon Diggs and Dak Prescott. Have you seen that here recently?
Yep,
right?
Yep.
Right. So his question is it commonplace for DBs to call their starting QBs a B word? Okay. I swear all of these. So this is one I won't say out loud. Okay. I know talking crap to your teammate is one thing, but when it's your star player on defense calls you your QB the B word, where does it come from jawing to disrespect? When does it come from jawing to disrespect?
I see it like this.
Yeah.
When you get on that field, there is no, like, that's our starting quarterback. There's times in training camp where, like, Coach Belichick will have to come in and remind the guys, like, hey, like,
we're
one
on a team.
Team.
Right?
Like, we're one yeah. because until right. you get to the first preseason game or joint practices, you're going at it. So there was times in practice where Tom's mother effing us, like, I mean, cursing a guy out on defense. And, like, I don't know if people think, like, because you play with, like, these great players that when they curse you out, you're sitting there like, okay, man, yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, right.
No, like, there was times I remember in 14, we're having a great day, right? Yeah. I think we had an interception early, and then I think Revis picked six, and we all run to the end zone, and Bill's trying to keep the drill going, and we're all jumping up and down. Hell no, we won't go. Hell no. And you've been around Tom a little bit. Tom gets
pissed. You're showing him up. You're showing practice up, everything.
So now he gets pissed. So Jamie Collins starts yelling, man, you over there acting like a little, like going back and forth.
Right.
And by the time we got to the locker room, it was laughs and jokes because we understand, like, especially in training camp, if you can't have that, if you can't have two sides of the ball, it was like Bill would always say it, we need it to be a heavyweight fight. We need one person to throw a haymaker, and you take it on the chin, and you get back. And then you throw a haymaker. He was like, it should be a back and forth.
Yes.
And within that comes the trash talk.
Right.
Like, I mean, remember when we saw Cam Newton and Josh Norman face-to-face? You're telling me Josh Norman and that defense didn't respect what Cam did on offense?
Exactly.
No, they did, but it's in the heat of playing.
Yeah.
Like, you go at it.
Tempers flare.
So there it is. And to the extent that Rasul Douglas saying you guys effing suck to the Packers offense became the catalyst, the straw that broke the camel's back to get Adam Schein to go on air and say Jordan Love can't play quarterback and all the other stuff that he said. And again, he's trying to make some compelling TV. It caught the attention of Devondre Campbell and made some compelling content on social media, on Twitter or X or whatever it is now called. I think I've decided to call it the social media site formerly known as Twitter in a nod to the artist formerly known as Prince.
Did I read right that like Twitter's lost like $29 billion or something like that ever since he's acquired it? I mean, I know that's a drop in the bucket for Elon, but damn, that's a lot. It's something like that.
If you pay $44 billion and it loses $29 billion in value, that's not a good day.
No, I know. Well, yeah, listen, you know, Twitter's – I love Twitter for the recent news and all that. That's where it has – but, I mean, if Twitter were to just, you know, get the hell out of my life and blow up, I would not cry. I would not sit here and go, oh, man, what – life's not the same without Twitter. Or whatever the hell you want to call it. You know, mama called it Twitter, I'm going to call
stunned.
It Twitter, all right?
I'm stunned that you would feel that way about Twitter after having gotten to know you so well over the past 7 years. All right. How about a little draft now?
Okay.
Given that we're advocating for patience for Jordan Love, who are the players, coaches, teams deserving of patience in 2023? I'll let you go first.
Okay.
And you can pick Jordan Love if you want. This isn't the Jordan Love Memorial Draft. He is still among us. You can pick Jordan Love or anyone else you would like to pick.
I'll stay away from him. Since we talked about him in that great of detail and that subject, I'll stay away and treat him. I'll let you have him if you want. I think the first one I'm going to go with, though, is a rookie quarterback here, right? And I'm going to go with Anthony Richardson of the Indianapolis Colts. Eat that, Florio. Yeah, I think that's one where, hey, of course patience, right? Patience for what he looks like in the pass game, patience what that offense might look like. There might be some weeks early in the year where, you know, yeah, it's ugly offense and they got to win through their defense and, you know, managing the clock and doing things like that. I wouldn't be shocked. But those are the lumps you got to take for a guy that has superstar ability. So I hope that fan base will be patient, not only with Shane Steichen, but Anthony Richards on top of that. You know, that's a combination that, yeah, it's a work in progress. There's some stuff to be done there. You heard me throughout the draft process. There's a lot to like about Anthony Richardson, but there's a lot that has to be worked on too, especially polish as far as dropping back in the passing game and doing the right thing there. So that'll be my first pick, Mike.
Yeah, that would have been my first pick, too. I didn't think you were going to go there. I was trying to goad you into taking Jordan Love. I'm going to go with the Jets just generally. That we've seen their schedule. They're slapping this team together on the fly. Aaron Rodgers is 39. He was not spectacular last year. Is it because he had had enough of the Green Bay Packers? Is it because Father Time is finally building a lead that Father Time will never relinquish? We don't know. But the schedule, right out of the gates, Bills, Cowboys, who's next? There's another one.
Yeah, I Patriots, Colts, Broncos, the Eagles.
There, Patriots, Chiefs, Broncos, Eagles. Boom, and then it's a bye week. It was imprinted onto my brain. It may as well be tattooed onto my wrist. So, and Robert Saleh said last week they just want to get to 3-3 at the bye. 3-3 is a little aspirational. I think they could be 2-4 at the bye. Not that it gets any easier after the bye, but this is a team that's going to take a little time to gel. They're not going to come right out of the gates. And I mean, look, we still got a month to go plus before we start picking games. But the idea of picking the Jets to beat the Bills week one, I don't think so. Not the Buffalo Bills, but so it's going to take a little time.
Yeah, I agree.
And we're not going to see the best of what the Jets are right away. And they need to give themselves patience. They need to be patient. They need to understand that they can't freak out if they're 0-2, 1-2, 1-3, going into that game at Denver, 1-3. 2-3 if they beat Denver, and then 2-4 if they lose to the Eagles. 2-4, if I had to pick a record for the Jets to start the season, I'd say they're going to be 2-4 when they make it to the bye. And if they are any better than that, they should be feeling very good about themselves, Chris.
Well, if they're 2-4 at the bye, then they're going to be 2-5 after the bye when they lose to the G-Men. But no, seriously, your point's real. I mean, it is. And, you know, you said it right. Don't expect, you know, there is. I think there's people here that think, oh, because of all this talk about Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, that they're just going to hit the ground running and it's going to be 385 yards and three touchdowns and Rodgers is going to be 27 for 34 in the first game of the year. No, you know, hey, don't forget the GOAT and company were sitting there at 7-5 and had like seven shamrocks up their butt to be 7-5. Before they made their Super Bowl run that year. You know, remember Matthew Stafford there. You know, there were some growing pains there. It was a little different. They kind of started out okay and then went through a valley of, like, he threw interceptions and they lost their way and they had to regain it. They're going to have a spot here early in the year where, yeah, it's not going to look pretty. Hopefully they can manage ways to win games and win them ugly, like you're saying, to where it buys them time to get everything on the same page. And then hopefully by week 10, 12, all of a sudden we start to see an offense where we go, ooh, it's dangerous. But, yeah, you know, Jets fans, traditionally very patient group. Let's see if they can exercise patience. And I'm being sarcastic there. All right.
They're going to be calling for a trade of Mike White. Bring back Mike White.
Bye. Right? Seriously. Who knows what happens? All right. The next one I'm going to go with, Jonathan Gannon. I'm going to go with Jonathan Gannon and the Cardinals, right? I mean, he's part of the reason here, but I feel like the Cardinals and their offseason report card grade for the facility and all that has all led to this piling on of the Cardinals. And then, you know, Jonathan Gannon and the way the Super Bowl ended and he didn't talk to the media and all that. That's one where I go, hey, you know, that deserves some patience there. They're in a total rebuild mode and their star franchise quarterback is not going to be healthy to start the season. You know, and the draft told us that they're playing for next year. They've set it up and put all their eggs into the next year draft basket, and that's when they're going to reorganize their team completely. So I hope that that fan base gives him a little bit, you know, of some patience and realizes that this is about a bigger picture and not about this year.
Yeah, I think they get it. I think they understand it. I'd like to think they do. I don't think they've deluded themselves into thinking the Cardinals can be contenders this year. When you see the moves they made on draft day, it is geared.
What was that word you were just saying there? I don't even know what came out of your mouth.
I said gained. Gained. Okay. I meant to say geared. Geared toward 2024. And that's what they're thinking of. This year, look, no one's ever going to admit to tanking, but I don't think winning is a major priority for the Cardinals in 2023. It's laying the foundation for whatever they're going to be in 2024. So if you're a Cardinals fan, you may as well be patient because it's not like the alternative is going to do you any good. They're not going to be good this year. And if they are, hey, treat that like some sort of a welcome surprise. There's been some positive stuff coming out of camp about how he's changing the culture. That doesn't mean it's going to result in wins, though, when you don't have a lot of great players on the team, and they don't. Next one for me is Sam Howell, especially because Ron Rivera said something last week about Jacoby Brissett that had Matthew Berry, Commanders aficionado, all stirred up on Friday when he was on the show, and he's right. Let's see what Sam Howell can do. Let's not start talking about bringing in Jacoby Brissett and trying to win 7 or 8 games with Brissett to maybe save Ron Rivera's job. Play Sam Howell all year to see what you have in Sam Howell. And don't expect Sam Howell to go 5-1 out of the gates. This is all about finding out what you've got in this guy that was a mid to low round pick in 2022, would have been a first round pick potentially in 2021 if he'd come out. You got a little glimpse of him last year. You have a new offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy. Give this guy a chance to grow into maybe your year-to-year starting quarterback. There's only one way to find out. So when Rivera talked last week about don't sleep on Jacoby Brissett, that sent up some alarms that maybe Rivera is going to be tempted to go with a more proven commodity at some point and not Sam Howell, maybe revolving door, just something. Because I think Rivera believes he needs to get to the playoffs to be back for 2024, and he may be right if he does believe that.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. That's kind of how I look at it in some ways. I mean, not definitive, but yeah, I mean, it's a big year for Rivera, that coaching staff. We know how the NFL works. And yeah, they got some talent on offense. They got Eric Bieniemy coaching the offense. Everything should be on the up and up. The quarterback is a big thing. When he says things like that to me just like – in my football world or mine just goes, ooh, that means Jacoby's been having some good practices. Maybe a Sam Howell, has been just a little bit off and he's sending warning shots. He's trying to keep that hot poker there to Sam Howell, let him know like, hey, the red carpet, you just don't get to be the starter no matter what here. You got to keep earning it and playing and doing the right thing. Those are the messages a head coach sends out this time of the year. All right. This is where it's a little tough here. I think, there's a few different options here, but I'm going to go with Brock Purdy. All right. Brock Purdy is one I'll throw out there because I have a hard time thinking that he's going to come back and be looking right away like the guy we saw at the end of the season. Or some people, I think, expect, well, he should be a little bit better, right? He played last year. He had the experience. He should come in this year and be going. No, that's not an easy injury he went through. That was a long time without throwing, getting any rhythm, doing anything. And I don't care who you are, right? It takes some time to get used to, oh, wait, I'm back out here in front of people, live bullets practice, let alone take some time like, damn, I haven't thrown a football in 6 months or more than that, right? So that's going to be a little bit of work in progress. And if he is healthy to start week one, what I'm saying is 49ers fans, don't expect him to lead the league in quarterback rating that week. He's got to manage the game, make a play with his legs here and there. And then, just a few nice throws. But don't expect it to be, 320 yards like we talk about and he's carrying the team and looking like he did, late season, early playoffs last year.
Well, and one person who needs to be particularly patient with Brock Purdy would be Kyle Shanahan, who seems to have just that fascination with Sam Darnold. Keeps talking about Sam Darnold, kind of compared him to Steve Young in a roundabout way not long ago, saying that to Michael Silver of the San Francisco Chronicle, basically, why can't Sam Darnold do what Steve Young did? It took Steve Young a few years to really find his groove. Not that he went through the same scenarios that Darnold went through, but I feel like there's this quiet hope that we get to see what Darnold can do coming from the organization, and that adds to the question of whether or not Brock Purdy will have the patience that he needs. I'll go Bryce Young for my last one instead of Jordan Love. We've already talked about Jordan Love because I was torn between the two other top five rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Richardson would have been my first pick. C.J. Stroud's going to have patience because nobody expects anything from the Texans this year. The Panthers are in that division that's wide open. The Panthers have a lot of good players on both sides of the ball. Bryce Young was the number one overall pick. The Panthers traded up from number 9 to number 1 to get him. There's a higher level of expectation walking through the door for Bryce Young than there is for the other two quarterbacks. And I think we still need to realize the guy's a rookie. The guy's got some things he's going to have to learn how to deal with at the NFL level, like not being able to see down the field, having to find his way through the alleys, through whatever cracks he can maybe engineer in the giant bodies in front of him, how to anticipate his throws, how to get rid of the ball quickly so he doesn't get thrown around like a rag doll like Tua has. A lot of stuff that Bryce Young has to figure out. And I think that and look, the Panthers did him no favors the way they've handled this. You trade up to number one, you build the guy up even more. You make him the number one pick. He's built up even more. The expectation is going to be really high. And let's not expect this guy to walk through the door and be a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to take some time. He's going to need some time to develop.
Yeah, 100%. That, you know, they lost DJ Moore. Like you said, the pressure of the number one pick. He won the Heisman. They're going to be, by all due accounts, running a little bit of a different offense than what Frank Reich has run traditionally. So that's where, hey, you got to that and how they get on the same page there and how they figure out, hey, what do we want to do? How do we want to run our offense around Bryce Young? Yeah, there's going to be a learning curve here, you know, let alone we've never seen a quarterback like this in the NFL. We haven't. We've seen Kyler Murray, who's this size, but as we talked about, Kyler Murray has some traits about him that are elite. I mean, Kyler Murray can line up and arguably be the fastest guy on your football team. And Kyler Murray's stout and jacked. Like, you're like, whoa, legs, and got some muscle on him. This is different. So that's where I do think there'll be an adjustment period. And I'm very interested to see how it goes, how it looks, and, you know, how it all filters out here with this type of quarterback who's not necessarily known for his mobility, but is also, you know, very small and undersized, like we talked about a lot.
We're now infringing upon a topic that is going to come up later in the program, but that is one of the inherent dangers of a draft. It can be any guy, any topic, including topics that we're due to talk about later. We will be talking later in the program, though, about Bryce Young because he spoke to Peter King as part of Peter's ongoing training camp tour. For now, we will take a break. When we return, news about a Cowboys cornerback that doesn't involve cussing out Dak Prescott in practice. More PFT Live right after this.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Dear listener, please close your eyes for this movie theater meditation brought to you by Fandango. Breathe in. Smell the fresh popcorn. Now exhale. Open your eyes and proceed to the best seats in the house you reserved on Fandango. Recline. Now, download the free Fandango app for movie times, tickets, and seats at your favorite theaters. Fandango. It's your ticket to the movies.
There is Matthew Berry's top 10 top 200. Well, the top 10 of the top 200. Let's start over again. There's the top 10 of Matthew Berry's top 200 fantasy football rankings. RotoWorld.com has the draft guide, and there he is at number one. My guy.
Your guy.
Justin Jefferson.
Would you buy him a PlayStation?
No, it was that gaming computer.
Oh, damn, that's right.
That stupid habit we have of offering the awards winners whatever they want. It started with a ham. It graduated to a box of cigars this year. Then it was Christian McCaffrey with his putter. Then it was Justin Jefferson with that.
I mean, look what you're doing to the Vikings. Your best player, your distractions because of Mike Florio. You know? He could be.
He's going to need a homework in his playbook. In his second contract.
Right.
Hey,
what are you doing?
Maybe that's why he doesn't have his second contract yet.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that's why he's yet to sign. They're haggling over the homework clause in the Justin Jefferson contract. Will you play fantasy football this year?
Oh, you know, I got some talk with some family and friends that they'd like to do it. So I'm looking like it's going to happen. I do think I'm going to end up playing fantasy football. I did it two seasons ago. It was a pain in my butt to a degree, but I think it's going to happen this year, and I need to be a little bit better at it. I need to be better at keeping on top of roster and trades. That's where I really messed up my first year.
One, nobody cares. And two, I have no comment about fantasy football in this setting, in any setting, because I never know when Big Cat and PFT Comment are going to swoop in, because they've trapped me before, they've set me up before, so they can say nobody gives a shit about your fantasy team. So I have no comment about playing fantasy football this year or any year. Fill in the blank time. Cowboys receiver C.D. Lamb says cornerback Stephon Gilmore, who arrived in Dallas this year by way of Indy and before that New England and before that Buffalo, first-round pick back in 2012, Gilmore is the smartest DB I've ever lined up against. So this Gilmore-Trayvon Diggs cornerback combo in Dallas is what, Chris?
The real deal. I think that's what comes to my mind. I mean, you know, really the secondary or the corners in general in Dallas are real deal. But you kind of got, like, I shouldn't even said the real deal. Maybe I should have said, let's change that, okay? Let's say match made in heaven. And this is why I say that. Because Diggs is, like, not exactly a technician, right? He's gotten better, but it's a little bit, hey, he just goes with his God-given talents and he plays and I cover you, I got you, and I'll do it. I'm going to go through some picks and, you know, not always going to be mechanically and perfectly in the right spots, but damn is he dangerous and scary if you're a quarterback to throw the ball at him, right? But where Gilmore, I think, is going to come into play, and because of off this comment, you know, he's always been a technician. He's always been very smart as far as how he plays the position. And that's why New England and Bill Belichick paid him all that money and stole him from the Buffalo Bills. Because he understands defenses, the techniques of the other guys, where he's vulnerable because of the defense. And I think that's where he could take Trayvon Diggs to the next level. But damn, Dallas has got some good corners there that they're certainly going to be able to rely on in some man-to-man situations.
I mean, that's what I was thinking. Right pairing at the right time. At a time in Trayvon Diggs' career where he could benefit from the cerebral nature of Stephon Gilmore's game. So it's not boom or bust. It's not interception or give up a touchdown.
Right, right.
There's a way you can still make the play on the ball without putting yourself in a position where if you don't get it, the guy is going to keep going the other direction. And maybe just by watching, emulating, learning from, listening, just soaking up the atmosphere around Stephon Gilmore, that makes Trayvon Diggs even better. Gilmore, the defensive player of the year, I believe in 2019 in the entire National Football League when he was with the New England Patriots. All right, Brandon Ayuk, 49ers receiver, says, I do feel like I'm going to take off this season. If Brandon Ayuk takes off, as he vows to do, the 49ers offense, blank.
Is unstoppable. I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. You know, he doesn't even need to take off, and I'm borderline there. You know, well, we get a year like last year was borderline taking off, right? Over 1,000 yards, 78 receptions. He did some damn good things, but I think they see something in him to go, whoa, this could go to another level where it's like, wait, are you going to double Brandon Ayuk or are you going to double Deebo Samuel? They've yet to get them in a year together where they're both just all systems go. We are unbelievable and unstoppable. So if they can get those two, and we know Deebo Samuel is, you know, a man that's on a mission. And then you got Kittle and McCaffrey. And then the Shanahan creativity and everything off of that and their run game. I mean, wow. Yeah, that would be a phenomenal blue chip for this offense to have. Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold, whoever's playing quarterback. If Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel both have their A-plus game going during this season.
Yeah, I'll say the 49ers offense carries the team to a Super Bowl win at that point because they've got the defense. And the old cliche, defense wins championships. We know that while there are some championship games like Super Bowl 50 and Super Bowl 55 where a great defense and a great pass rush makes a huge difference and we get reminded of that,
Yeah. You
still have to have an offense that can make plays. If the 49ers had an offense in Super Bowl 54 that could make a play or two at the right time, they would have won that game. Because the defense is already pretty damn good, one of the best in the NFL. That offense, if it gets next level, you've got a level of balance that gets you past the Eagles to the championship game. And then whoever the AFC offers up, the Chiefs or the field, the 49ers would be good enough to finally win that Super Bowl that it feels like they should have won one by now with Kyle Shanahan as the head coach. It feels like maybe they should have won two by now. If that offense takes off, they'll finally get that one they've been trying to get ever since Shanahan showed up in 2017, Chris.
Yeah, they're knocking at the doorstep. I mean, they really are. The team it's there, right? Yeah, it's missed opportunities in that first Super Bowl, you know, because of the quarterback in a lot of ways. Same thing in, you know, losing the NFC Championship game to the Rams. Same thing, you know, some missed opportunities and some you know, unclutch play by the QB there. And then, of course, last year just getting unlucky. But, yeah, they're one of the best teams in football. Shanahan's one of the best coaches in football. But they got a team in their conference in the Philadelphia Eagles that's equally as built the right way. And it's, I think, going to be their nemesis. And I would be, you know, I'd almost be shocked if it's not those two again playing in the NFC Championship game.
Last week, Super Bowl 56 MVP Cooper Kupp went down with an injury. There was a lot of concern. It's been called day-to-day since then. Coach Sean McVay over the weekend described it as a little tweak. Without a healthy Cooper Kupp, the Rams' offense, what?
Is average. I mean, average. With a healthy Cooper Kupp, I don't know if it's much above average. It's above average, but, like, what are we talking about here? Right? I mean, first off, take his name off of this and you go, hey, you take his name off this graphic and you go, hey, here's some good, solid players. But, I mean, we're not writing home and going, man, woo, the Rams and Tyler Higbee and Van Jefferson, watch out, baby. Man, it doesn't matter they don't have Cooper Kupp. They're still going to light up the scoreboard. And then you talk about a guy, you know, an offensive line, an older quarterback behind an offensive line that was horrible last year. And can they run the ball? I mean, the offense is going to be situated around Cooper Kupp, and if they don't have Cooper Kupp, there's going to be a trickle-down effect to where it's just going to make them that less effective. So they need him. We know that. They're a team that was very top-heavy at one point, and now they're not very top-heavy, and they need, you know, those stars to come through and play good in a big way.
McVay said Saturday most of the guys on the team are going to play throughout the preseason, something they haven't done since 2017. Now, Matthew Stafford won't, Aaron Donald won't, Cooper Kupp won't, but I think everybody else will because they're trying to figure out what the hell they
exactly,
have.
Exactly, right.
They're trying to figure out who can play.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out who is going to complement the shrinking nucleus of superstars that they have, and frankly, they'd have one fewer if they would have gotten their way in the offseason and Matthew Stafford would have been traded to another team. They can deny it all they want. They have no choice but to deny it now because they have to go forward with who they have. And as to this notion, because some of you may be saying, well, why would you be talking about Cooper Kupp not being able to play if it's just a little tweak? Here's a tweet when we posted the story yesterday. Given how much Sean McVay downplays injuries, by saying a little tweak, I'm pretty sure this means Kupp is already dead and we're seeing an AI-generated life model decoy. So I don't think he's downplaying it quite to that extent. But all coaches have a habit of downplaying anything and everything that could be strategically unsound for them to talk about. But yeah, until Cooper Kupp's back, who knows, Chris? And even when he is back, who knows how long he's going to stay healthy? Same thing with Matthew Stafford. Hey, he's healthy. That's great. Let's see how long he stays healthy. That's the thing. Anyone out there that's had a history of injuries, especially guys who are getting older, he's healthy. That's great. Right, but he's been healthy before, and what happened? Jimmy Garoppolo, oh, he's healthy. That's great. Yeah, he's been healthy before. What's happened every time he's been healthy? We've got the list. We've got the receipts. So that's the issue with Cooper Kupp. If he isn't all that banged up, he comes back, but we saw what happened last year with the ankle injury, and he's going to be so much a focal point of the offense. He's going to get hit. He's going to get twisted around. He can get hurt again.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they're going to ride Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford. And that's the problem with what their team is right now is, yeah, they're going to get beat up. They're going to force the issue there. And Matthew Stafford, again, that's one where I know it surprised people where I had him ranked, you know, as far as some of my quarterback rankings. But, man, when you really break it down, I mean, he was as tough as hell and did about as much as you could do with what was given to him last year. It was bad. It was unbelievable to see a team that won the Super Bowl kind of fall like that quickly. We haven't seen that. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back this year.
When all that stuff dusted up a few weeks ago about the Rams and Matthew Stafford, and did they try to get him to restructure his contract and take less money?
Yeah.
Kevin Demoff, the COO, said, no, we never talked to him about that. And then Stafford said, yeah, they did talk to me about it. Somebody I know in the league, and this was said 90% in jest, but basically said their only way out of this now is to hope he looks at his offensive line and says, good Lord, and retires. So, I mean, he's not going to do that. There's too much money he'd have to pay back if he did. But it just feels like they have a really tough road back to contention in L.A. The only thing that benefits them, Chris, Eagles, 49ers are the two best teams by far. And then it's kind of everybody else. You could throw the Seahawks and Cowboys into the second cut.
Yeah.
There's three playoff spots wide open this year in the NFC.
Yes, there is. There is. And that's where we don't know where. We got a lot of teams with, ooh, we can see some potential. I mean, hey, you know, the Giants are better. We talked about the NFC South and the Saints only got one, you know, there's only one quarterback in the NFC South that's proven. The NFC North, we got the Lions, you know. But damn, man, it was the worst defense in football last year. And it was, you know, end of the season run by them. Can we expect them to answer the bell? The same thing with, you know, the Green Bay Packers. We talked about with Jordan Love. We know your Minnesota Vikings were Fugazi-ish last year. So that's where the NFC is, it's hard to figure out the seven that are going to be in the playoffs. Yeah, we know two or three, but after that, like you said, it's up for grabs.
Jason Garrett got me all excited about the defense being a lot better with Brian Flores. So I don't know. Maybe they're going to be less Fugazi-ish, and we're going to see less ish on the field when it's time for the defense to play this year. But we'll see. We'll have another day to talk about that. Jason Garrett also suggested I see a psychiatrist about my ongoing Vikings affliction.
I concur, doctor. I concur. I think you should as well.
Let's take a break. Bryce Young, we spoke about him earlier. He spoke to Peter King. He'll talk about how he's pushing his limits in practice. We'll play some of that next here on this Monday edition of PFT Live. Football Morning in America is back. Peter King returned from his hiatus last week. New edition of Football Morning in America is up as Peter King continues his training camp tour. He has been in the Carolinas. Here he is talking to the number one overall pick in the 2023 draft, Panthers quarterback Bryce Young.
What was interesting about watching practice, and I only watch one practice, but what was interesting is that you threw the ball away four times. You ran out of bounds twice. And I hear that you have basically been told, listen, it's really important in this league. If it's not there, throw it away, live to fight another day. Is that something you're still getting used to? Have you always done that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that I've always kind of believed in and tried to, you know, embody. But, of course, at the step up and, you know, in a new league, you get reassured that, and you know, you know just how more precious points are at this level and how more important it is to not turn the ball over. So, you know, I think in practice is finding that healthy balance of me trying to take, you know, game-like reps and making sure that I'm going full speed and thinking like a game. And, you know, in that being aggressive but not being careless and making sure that I'm smart with the ball and also pushing the limits and finding out what I can do, you know, making mistakes in practice because, you know, at a certain time, test, you know, this is the time to test things out and see what I can and can't do for when game rolls around and, you know, trying to find that balance. But it's definitely something I've always embodied. And, we talk about it a lot as a, you know, as a unit. So I try to do everything I can to take care of the ball.
One of the things they like about Bryce Young, and they're not worried about him being tossed around like Tua last year, even though he's not a big guy, they trust that he's going to be smart. They trust that he's going to have the awareness. They trust that he's going to know what to do with the ball, when to do it, how to take care of it, and also just how to get rid of it. And if he has to get rid of it, where to put it so the other team can't get it, Chris.
Yeah, it's a learning process. It is. It's a different game, NFL football, from college football. You know, even in the SEC, as good as that is, right, Mike? I mean, hey, the coaching's not the same. You're not seeing that. You're not seeing guys that are in football all day long, right? It's not the best of the best from college. Even in the SEC, you're playing against some teams where you go, hey, there's a lot of guys there that are not even going to be on an NFL defense next year, right? So it's a totally different game that way, and that how the quickness in which D linemen get up on you. You get out of the pocket, you know, where you might have been able to get out of the pocket and then go, hey, in college I'm out, and now I can kind of reset up for a second and get a throw off. Now it's like, no, there's no reset up. You got to stay on the run the whole time, right? And do you even have enough time to raise your arm and make those throws, right? Getting a gauge for, you know, what's smart or what's pushing the limits a little bit and what's reckless. We talk about that all the time, right? Getting a feel for, okay, wait, hey, here's cover two and there's a receiver between the corner and the safety, you know, in the NFL, can I push the ball and squeeze it into that hole there, right? In college, I could do it. In the NFL, what can I get away with here? And that's where, you know, you're going to learn that, the clock, the timing of, wait, okay, in college I could sit there, one, two, three, okay, look around. Now it's one, two, oh, crap, I better make something happen or do something here. And that's what he's going to continue to deal with throughout training camp, and especially when he gets some preseason reps here.
And look, this is the bigger picture, organizational dynamic, psychological reality of what the Panthers have done here. David Tepper bought the team in 2018. They have been trying desperately to get a franchise quarterback. They couldn't lure any veteran franchise quarterbacks to come play for them. Remember, Deshaun Watson wasn't interested in coming back to the Carolinas.
Right.
They just couldn't get it. They kept swinging and missing on every guy they tried to get. So they decided, screw it. We're gonna draft. We're going to involuntarily force a franchise quarterback to come here. But by moving all the way up to number one, they just put so much more pressure on this kid. That's why I included him in the draft earlier in the show.
Sure.
As people who deserve patience this year. He is put in a tough position. It's hard enough to be a first-round pick. But to be that guy that they gave up all that stuff to go get, the expectation is you are going to become a superstar. You are going to become Cam Newton, or better than Cam Newton. At least with Cam Newton, that was the pick they organically earned. They went out and gave up a bunch of crap to get up to one.
Right.
This guy's our savior. My God, there's only one way to go, and that's down. So I feel bad for this kid. I'm rooting for this kid more than any of the other rookie quarterbacks because he's being put in a very difficult situation. There isn't a damn thing he can do about it other than just try to make the best of the situation.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's a tough spot, but I don't think he'd want it any other way. I mean, he wanted to be the number one pick. We know that, right? It's an obstacle you got to overcome, and usually with the number one pick, it's, you know, changing the culture, changing the way we view things, right? That's what Joe Burrow did. Ugh, the Bengals, and now, like we joked about 2 weeks ago, now it's like, damn, they're cool. Look at the Bengals. They're even, you know, I know Mahomes was the number one pick, but same thing there. Can you enforce your will and the way you are as a person to get it to permeate through the rest of the organization? And that'll take some time, and it's going to take some support and some people around him to help him the right way, and the coaching staff and the players, so he can finally show his true abilities. And yeah, you do need some patience, to your point.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, and we're going to ask you in advance, don't tell anybody about this because I'm not sure we're supposed to be doing it, but we're doing it anyway. The grid, baby. The grid is back, and it is going to be great TV next here on PFT Live.
Wow.
Chris Sims, look at that.
Wow.
With the Bucks, with the Broncos, with the Titans. You got the Mahomes arm angles playing a little shortstop out there.
Yeah, doing a
little. Number 2 and number 11.
I like that positioning of that middle one. The middle one, my back leg is way too.
What's wrong?
Well, it needs to be underneath my body more, right? Like the one on the left where you're in a position of power to turn into it. I know that one in the middle.
You're taking the big step, though, to drive it. You're taking the big step.
I am a big,
but
I still want to
the window.
You want to stay in that back foot even doing that. I remember that's a preseason game in San Francisco, and I was probably nervous and guiding the ball a little bit with the first few throws. Played pretty good, but, man, look at that. Good job by the control room pulling out the old pictures. The Tennessee Titans one, you'll like this story, Mike, just real quick. Like, that one, that's up in Seattle. That was the day before my son was born, and we had to get on the flight to Seattle. And, of course, that happened. My wife let everything happen. Naturally, happens that morning. And I'm on the phone with the Titans, like, I'm going to make the plane. You know, and then they're kind of, you know, like, I don't know if he'll make it, whatever. My offensive coordinator calls, and he's like, how you doing? How's it going? And then he goes, wait, what's that sound? And it was my wife in the background pushing out my big son, Philip, and making some crazy noises. My wife, natural birth, no inducement. So you can imagine the noises. And I can still remember the late, great Mike Heimerdinger just being like, what is that? And I go, that's my wife. And he went, oh, you know, he went, oh, shit. I don't think you're making the flight.
All right. And now we move on to the grid. Go to crossovergrid.com/PFT to play along. Here's what we have today. Along the top, the vertical three columns, Giants, Vikings, and two or more rushing touchdowns in back-to-back games, a highly specific statistical achievement. Down the horizontal columns, Cowboys, Dolphins, and Chris's favorite conference, especially on defense, the Big 12.
Oh, yeah.
That creates a grid of 9.
Right.
We're going to work through these. We're going to do our best to make it clear to you what we're up to as we do it. I've got some answers already, Chris.
Good.
Some come to me immediately, obviously. Every time I love doing these grid games, and 4, 5, 6 of them come to me right away. And I'm going to start in the upper left corner, Giants Cowboys. Unless you have someone better, the one I always think of, and the one that I've used in the past
right. In
one of these games, Everson Walls,
yeah.
The guy on the cover of Sports Illustrated after the Giants won Super Bowl 25.
That's right.
I think he had a number of interceptions that hasn't been matched since like 12 or 13. I think it's like the most that anyone's had in decades. Everson Walls did it with the Cowboys. So Everson Walls, what's the percentage there?
4.
I can't make
5.
It out.
I thought I
4.5%.
Had
4.5%.
Yeah. I had Jason
you
Garrett.
Get a low percentage.
Yeah.
We should have done Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett. I also thought about Herschel Walker. I think some people might forget that the Giants also had Herschel Walker, right? So that did cross my mind as well. But yeah, Jason Garrett, I'm guessing that would have been maybe even lower than Everson Walls.
We shouldn't have done final answer Everson Walls. We should have gone with Jason Garrett. We need to Jason Garrett's full career has more teams than just the, what's he have? Is it Cowboys? Did he play for the Giants? You know what?
He played for the Giants.
Did he play for the Giants?
Yes, he definitely did.
Yes. I'm looking at his coaching results. All right, let's move on. What else do you have?
Okay, well, Giants, Dolphins, that one was like, do you have any old school guys, right? Right? That one was one of the toughest ones to me. I got nothing there. So that's where I want.
I had this one right away.
You got,
right
who,
away.
Who's your, Boom. Oh, you're, I know, you kind of.
John Jerry.
Good
John
call
Jerry,
by you.
Because he was caught up in the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin thing.
Right.
He went to the Giants after he left the Dolphins. He's one of the guys that continued his career. Jerry went to the Giants, and 1.21 gigawatts, 1.9% for John Jerry. All right, give me a Giant that played in one of the Big 12 schools. And it can be any current Big 12 school, even if they weren't in the Big 12 when this guy played for the Giants.
Well, my mind went right to recent guys, right? They have a guard there that I have respect for in Glowinski, Mark Glowinski, who's been around, and
That's
he went
good.
To West Virginia. Right. And I just feel like, oh, linemen, like nobody ever thinks about them. So that was one that like was at least in my brain. I know Sterling Shepard's there and went to Oklahoma, but I thought Glowinski might be one that goes off the radar.
I think Glowinski would be good.
Yeah.
I was thinking Geno Smith because he played at West Virginia.
Sure.
And had,
right.
You know, that short time with the Giants. But I think an obscure offensive lineman is going to end up generating a lower percentage. And again, that is the purpose of this game. Low percentage and no picture. That's the other thing, too. If there's no picture, that makes it even more obscure. All right.
Let me hit another Vikings, one if Cowboys. You don't mind. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Right, you go ahead. Top? Boom. Well, go, no, you go ahead.
I thought you might get a kick out of this. The Vikings in the Big 12, right? The Vikings had a lot of Texas guys on their football team at one point. So I can pull some. You remember Brian Robeson, right? Defense end for a while. You had Cedric Griffin. But here's even a better one. I got the long snapper, Cullen Leffler. Do you remember Cullen Leffler?
Ooh.
Right.
L-O-E-F-F-L-E-R.
Exactly. That's got to be under 1%. .47.
I'd say that's...
Woo!
What is it?
.47.
I'm surprised it's that high. I was going Darius Raynaud because he played at West Virginia, but I'd say Cullen Leffler, even more obscure than Darius Raynaud, a former West Virginia great kick returner. All right, now look, we need somebody better than Herschel Walker for Cowboys-Vikings, but I'm scarred by Herschel Walker. I can't think of any other Cowboy that played for the Vikings or Viking that played for the Cowboys. Oh, you know what? I got Randall Cunningham. Randall Cunningham's one. Do you have anybody else?
No, Randall's a really good one. I would have thought I forgot about Randall with the Dallas Cowboys. Right. So that
was there for like 1 year.
Yeah. Right.
So maybe that's going to be a low. Give me low percentage. When
really
we get
good call by you right there, Mike. Right. Really good.
Woo! Now, I finally got through the Herschel Walker mental block. You got me something. Center square, Vikings, Dolphins.
This is another one. I'm a little light on here as far as good names. Vikings, Dolphins. I mean,
I got one. I got one. If you don't have one, Teddy Bridgewater.
Take it. Oh, duh. Yeah, duh.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Damn. I think I actually had a Vikings.
Now the problem is it's going to be a high percentage.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a high percentage.
Not horrible.
That's all right.
Though.
19. That's not bad.
Who else?
Last column.
That was tough.
I can't think of anybody else who played for the Vikings and the Dolphins, and I've been paying close attention to the Vikings for 50 years. Yeah, it could be Dalvin Cook in a week, although that would not count just quite yet. Two or more rushing touchdowns, back-to-back games. So to complete this column, the last one, we need a Cowboy who did it, a Dolphin who did it, and somebody from the Big 12 who did it. And I don't think this is all that difficult. Now, it's going to be beneficial to go obscure, right? Like Tony Dorsett for the Cowboys, is that obscure? I bet there's somebody more obscure like Robert Newhouse, but I don't know that he had two or more rushing touchdowns in back-to-back games.
Yeah, no, you're right. You got to think a little top heavy, right? I mean, that to be safe. I mean, yeah, you of course think Emmitt Smith, DeMarco Murray, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. We know those are Ezekiel two Elliott. Plus, but like, is there anybody else that we're missing in between there that we think could be that type of guy, right? I don't know. Here, one for the Big 12 that I think could be an interesting one, and I'm, of course, leaning on ex-friends and teammates here, but Cedric Benson, RIP to the great Cedric Benson, at the Big 12 on the bottom right?
I don't
right.
know that I would do Cedric Benson. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he didn't get it. How about Adrian Peterson? Let's go low-hanging fruit for the Big 12.
All right.
Adrian Peterson had to have two or more rushing touchdowns in back-to-back games. He probably had two or more rushing touchdowns in every game he played.
No doubt.
Knock out an easy one.
Okay.
It's probably a high percentage, but that's all right.
All right.
All right. Dolphins. Now, look, I mean, Ricky Williams was the powerhouse there. They've had Larry Zonka.
But
would Larry Zonka have had two or more rushing touchdowns in back-to-back games? I assume so. I don't know.
What's going to be less?
I don't
Ricky
know.
Williams or Larry
be?
Zonka, right? I mean, I think we go probably Ricky Williams, but
hopefully,
it's very high.
They want Ricky Williams. All right, I need to check and see if Zonka would make that list as well, though. They, you know, for the '80s, they were all pass. So who would have had two or more rushing touchdowns in one game once Dan Marino was there? All right, we need a Cowboy. Last one. Cowboy player with two or more rushing touchdowns in back-to-back games.
Answer? But is there anybody that's like obscure that we can't, you know?
Do we want to go Robert Newhouse? That's the most obscure. You're a thighs and butt guy. He had thighs.
Oh, all time.
He had the biggest thighs that I can remember of a running back in NFL history. Do we want to try Robert Newhouse? Or do we
I don't
go
think
Tony
so.
Dorsett?
I think let's just be right.
Tony Dorsett.
Okay, fine. We'll go Tony. I hope it's Tony.
Dorsett. Waiting for the final answer
we got
to
it.
Process.
Hey,
there we go.
Number
Boom.
10.
Boom. We're number 10 out of who knows how many. But go play the crossovergrid.com/PFT. There is a daily grid at crossovergrid.com/NFL that comes out around 1 o'clock Eastern every day. Check that out. We'll take a break. When we return, Pete Carroll not happy with the current state of college football, Big 12, Pac-12, any 12. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
I don't have enough information to comment clearly, but I'm really disappointed. You know, I would think that there's a lot of people, a lot of fans that are disappointed too. You know, and I know it's a financial turn that they do. You know, and they've got to make their decisions and all. But no, there's something about the tradition of it that gets lost, and I don't know where they recapture that. You know, I don't know how they recapture the traditions that has stood for so long. And it's not just our conference out here; it's around the country too. I really don't understand, but I'm pretty disappointed in college football right now, just in general. I'm just disappointed that it's gone the way it's gone, with all of the stuff that's happening. And I hope they can get it right, and it comes out way better than I can imagine it in my limited capacity here. I'm sure I'm just kind of like the tradition of it that I feel like we're missing, and all that. And I don't know how you recapture that.
I love Pete Carroll. I don't really know enough about it to comment on it. And then he gives a comment that is 100% right on the money as to what's going on with college football. It's chaos now. It's the chaos college football deserves because of all the decades that went by where college football went out of its way to twist itself into knots to keep players from getting paid, either by the schools or by anybody else. Can't make a dime off of your name, image, and likeness. Remember, they were chasing Johnny Manziel around because he may have gotten paid to sign his autographs at a card show before he had lost his amateur status. The whole thing is ridiculous, and the whole thing is what's caused this to all blow up on college football. And the most recent development, the Pac-12 in shambles, with teams going to the Big 12, teams going to the Big 10. This reshuffling, Chris, it's going to be the Big 10 and the SEC as the top two conferences, the ACC and the Big 12 fighting to be the second tier, and then everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like. This is what I think we all thought was going to happen. I mean, I think this has been on people's radar for, a few years now, that we were going towards the super conference route. We were. And without a doubt, right? I mean, the SEC and Big Ten are in another level than the rest of the conferences right now. You know, that's where I argued with, the great Roy Williams from Oklahoma, and even Tim Brando got on there because I said the Big 12 stinks when TCU got in. I'd rather have seen the two-loss Alabama team in there, But yes, it's money talks, money walks, whatever you want to say. And right now, college football has become huge business. It is a shame. Do we lose some rivalries and traditions? Yeah, we do. But sorry, that's just the current, landscape of the land here. Yeah, I don't like it that Texas and Texas A&M don't play each other anymore. But I also, like it or dislike it even more that, we were in a spot where, like I told you, you got certain guys who are, he's the star of this $100 million college football team, and he doesn't have enough money to buy lunch every day. And that ain't right either. So, I don't know if this is the perfect fix, but we certainly are helping the players out in a better way. And, hopefully they can figure out a better formula for all of this as we go on.
Yeah, until all the coaches who want to preserve their multi-million dollar salaries convince Congress to put NIL rules in that make it easier for the coaches to get the booster money to come to them and not to the kids, which is what's going on. They're trying to get Congress to save them from the chaos that they created. I'm out on all of it, especially the Big 12. Like, I don't want West Virginia in the Big 12. I want nothing to do with West Virginia in the Big 12, and I don't know where they would go.
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen.
Well, you seem like an ACC
this reshuffling
team. Right, yeah.
Well, but the ACC doesn't want us.
I know.
Nobody wants us. I mean, the problem is the money is what's going to drive this. And guess what? We ain't going to have the money to compete. So that's just the way it is. Football at every level, college and pro, is business. And now college is getting a taste of what happens when football is full-blown business. And it just is. And we've known it is. But now it finally is. And look what happens. All these rivalries are being trashed. The conferences are imploding. And we see how it all shakes out. At the end of the day, it's still going to be three or four teams that rule the sport anyway. Everybody else is just bystanders getting in their games and playing in a bowl game and moving on. And we'll move on. We'll wrap up this Monday edition of PFT Live right after this. One of the most fun aspects of these grid games is the remorse you feel after the game is over, especially when people are watching, playing along, and telling you where you screwed up.
You're an idiot.
We could have gotten one. Yeah, we could. Well, at least we have a more tangible reason for them to call us idiots. Dan Bailey, Cowboys Vikings square, 1.7%, if we'd have gone with the kicker, who was still the kicker of the Vikings. And we blew it in the center square, although it was a fairly high percentage. Vikings Dolphins, Chris Carter.
The last year of his career was spent in Miami.
Right. Didn't even think of it.
Yep, I didn't think of it either. It's tough, like, doing it right on the fly. It is. It's one of these where I'd like to, you know, prepare. Maybe I'll look at the rundown for tomorrow, and if we do it again, I'll have some better ideas. But we'll see. That's, you know, 50-50 chance.
Tune in tomorrow to see if we're allowed to do it again. That remains to be
we'll see.
Enjoy your Monday.
See ya.
We'll be back tomorrow.